Aloha from the Garden Island, and welcome to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story Series, dedicated to Hawaiian musicians as they share their stories and songs. Wala'au, or talk story, is translated as reminiscing or communicating. In this edition, Ka'amea, or the Winds of Change, we focus on those innovative musicians who have taken traditional Hawaiian music and instruments to a new level. Paul Togioka is recognized as one of Kauai's leading slack key masters. He has received numerous music awards, including a Grammy nomination in 2007. In this special edition of Talk Story, Paul Togioka is joined by KKCR's Kilipaki Vaughn.
Here we are with Mr. Paul Togioka, Kauai's own.
Yeah, thank you for having me here today.
It is a pleasure to be here with you. You've been a tremendous asset for the island of Kauai with your music and spreading the slack key all over the world and the globalization of slack key. And who is Paul Togioka?
Well, I'm originally from Kekaha. I was born in Waimea, and I attended Waimea High School. Then in 1978, when I graduated high school, in fact, that's when I started the guitar. I started quite late, and I went to Colorado State University. And while I was there, like most guitar players at the time, I would listen to like the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And what is unusual is I picked up the banjo while I was there. I was walking to class one day, and I seen this gentleman playing the five-string banjo. And I was floored because you know how fast the bluegrass banjo is played. And so I became friends with the gentleman, and he taught me how to play the banjo.
What was his name?
Chris Weller.
Chris Weller. And so was he just a student, or was he?
He was a student from Virginia. And when I lasted only 2 years at Colorado State because I guess instead of studying, I was just practicing too much banjo and guitar. So I came back to Kauai, and I started playing the clubs I'd sit in with Billy Paul, or there was at that time in the early 80s, late 70s, the tourism industry was much bigger here on Kauai. So La Luna's was the bar that we played at.
And that was bluegrass music you'd be playing?
Bluegrass music. So that's what I played first for professionally. And one day I was in Kekaha, and I seen this gentleman. His name was Isaac Kanahele. He had passed away, but I seen him playing slack key, and I was real surprised on how a person could accompany himself, play the bass line and the melody at one time. And that's when I shifted my focus on the guitar. And I started, instead of rock and roll guitar, I was doing bluegrass banjo and slack key. And this is the funny part. The primary tuning for the banjo and the slack key guitar is usually open G.
Yes, so, very similar.
Yeah, so the chords, I could use the same chords I did on a banjo and apply to slack key guitar. And to learn the picking patterns, I hooked up with Hal Kinnaman, and he taught me the basics of slack key, and also Samuel Likayan from Kekaha. And after I started feeling more comfortable in slack key, I started incorporating banjo techniques into my slack key playing, which is what you kind of hear today. And so that's how I got started, at least, you know, on playing music in clubs. Then as time went on, tourism started dying out on Kauai, so I started focusing more on the guitar. And eventually I just play more guitar than I do on the banjo.
That was straight guitar or just slack?
Slack key guitar.
Slack key guitar.
Yes.
Okay, so my one question to you is, when you're back playing bluegrass, I mean, had you been listening to Hawaiian music prior to that? You know, when you were a youngster, you know, surfing Pankalas and Waimea, were you listening to Hawaiian music back then? And how come you weren't attracted to Hawaiian music at that time?
Well, in those days, I would be listening, when I was in high school, would be like the Olomana, Kalapana, CNK, because, you know, typical of the kids at that time. But then after seeing Isaac, and when I got into, really hooked into slack key, I started buying the Gabbies, the Leonard Kwan, the Raymond Connie, you know, at that time, those were the people. And Sonny Chilling's work, then that's what I really focused into the slack key. That was something good too, but I could do on my own time, which I could do during the nights or between breaks from school and things like that.
Sure. And so if you took lessons from Hal Kinnaman,
yes,
how often were they? I mean, you said that you spent a lot of time on your own and you had the background in banjo, but
Hal, I took lessons from him on and off for about 3 years because at one point he went to Maui, but at first I would book like once a week, and then I would try to double book, meaning I'll take two lessons in a row when I knew he was going to leave for Maui.
Oh, okay.
And And then it came to a point where I understood the patterns of the slacky guitar, then I would start listening to the records and picking it off the records.
Oh, so just the ear started coming to you, listening to Gabby, and you'd be listening to Hal Kinnaman's records or to other people's records?
Other people's records, because Hal would give me the tablature. So once I kind of learned most of his stuff, I would start listening to Gabby. But I really used to like Leonard Kwan, Ledwood Kaupana, and Peter Moon. And at that time, there wasn't the books wasn't as available as it is today. So I would be with the recording, I'll be lifting it up, going phrase by phrase.
Sure.
And which I'm happy I did, because now it taught me how to listen to what's going on. And I have a easier time picking off other people's songs. So basically, I stole from all those people. So that's what I tell Edward when I see him. I thank you for letting me steal all your licks. And he just usually just laughs.
Talking about Ledward, he was one of those people that you looked up to,
role models.
You're not stealing music, but you were emulating their music, and now here you are playing alongside with them. How does that make you feel?
The first time it happened, I couldn't believe. We were on Maui, and Milton Lau, who is the producer of the Hawaiian Slacky Guitar Festivals, flew up Ledward and I. He just told me one day that, you and Ledward will be doing the promotions, and then,
Your eyes lit up.
It was more like, oh my goodness, man, like intimidation.
Sure.
But I didn't say nothing then. When I got there, Ledward, he made me feel as comfortable as possible. And the first place we had to play together was for the mayor, because he proclaimed a Slacky Week on Maui.
Sure. Mayor Arakawa, right?
Yes. So we had to go into the mayor's office, and the mayor sat between us, and we played for the mayor. Then at that point, Ledward made me feel so comfortable. At the Slacky Festival, we went up on stage and played together. And that surprised me, because that became a picture on the Hawaii section of the Honolulu Advertiser.
Yeah.
But I never thought I'd ever be playing with Ledward. And, till today, I'm very impressed with him. Because I thought as we get more senior, we would start mellowing out. But, his playing just is aggressive. I personally think for what he does, his style, he's the man.
Thank you. other than Ledward, you've been playing with?
I've got to record with, back in 19, I think it was 98, I used to work with Body Panoki, and we did this, we had this group called Ohana o Kawaii, and we got to record with, I did a duet with, well, Body and myself, and we did duets with Hal Kinnaman, Raymond Connie, and Ken Emerson. And Raymond was another opportunity that was, you know, I feel grateful for. We flew him in, Body set up the meeting, and we flew him in from Honolulu to Kauai, and at that point he already was using, he had oxygen assistance.
Yes.
But we did two songs together, Nanea Komaka and Waianae Sleki Hula. And what we did for that case, we let him record first. Then I came in later on to the studio and overdubbed. But we flew him in for one day, and then we went to Barter's Books and did a promotion. Then he flew out that afternoon.
Oh, good. Yeah, Raymond, I mean, most people will know that Raymond's one of the early Slatkey guys around, you know, as well as Leonard Kwan back in the 70s. And then you had Gabby Pahinui.
Yes.
You said that you didn't ever get a chance to meet Gabby, but you've played with Martin, played with Cyril. Have you played with Blah as well?
Well, I've been at the festivals with them, but as far as sitting down with them and jamming, you know, I haven't had the chance. But there were several years ago, before the Slacky festivals, we would have parties at either my house or my sister's house, and that'd be the night before the festival, so a lot of the guys would show up. So
one time, backyard Paino style. Yeah.
So one time, a Blah came by, and you know, he was jamming, and there was other times where Ledward came by, or one time, George Kalmoku and Brother Nolan and, well, Mike Kava always came by, and also Mauna Loa, the group, came by. Mm-hmm. And that was a moment I will not forget, because at the festivals is one thing to see them, you know, everybody going one by one and doing their thing, but at these jam sessions, man, it's just like a big social, and they're just jamming, and you know, you see the human side of them too, and I don't even play, I just step back and I just watch,
just
man.
Listen, yeah.
And I never thought music would turn out this way for me, because it just started off as a serious hobby. Feel real lucky.
Music collection would be
it varies a lot. Sometimes I'm listening to, well, bluegrass, and you know, I really like Bela Fleck, who is a banjo player. I
got Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
In fact, I got to meet him at the Grammys, spent some time with him, very humble guy. But then I also listen to Earl Klugh. I listen to a lot of world music, and as far as Slacky players, I listen to like Lidward, David Kahiapo, Keola Beamer, and you know, all the old timers like Gabby, Sonny Chillingsworth, sure. Peter, and even like for Peter, when I listen to his music, I'm real impressed because he was very ahead of his time. Till today, a lot of people don't emulate him because it's so complicated.
Sure, sure. I mean, back in the Sunday Manoa days, in the 70s, they were so far ahead of, they were really pushing the envelope as far as Hawaiian music. So we talked about the backyard pa'ina and having those jam sessions at your house. If you could invite a few people to that backyard session or of your own, you know, just maybe like a handful, five people, who would they be? Or
well, if you could bring them back, I'd like to see all the greats of the past, like Gabby, Sonny, you know, Leonard Kwan. I've never really met those people or talked to them. I'd like to see them play and... Of course, the sight of me when I was growing up, I would like to see the Rolling Stones in my backyard, but I know that won't happen.
Oh, my goodness.
But even I'm in awe even of the Kauai musicians. That's a good question. I never thought about it, but yeah, there's a lot of people I'd like to see.
Who do you look up to on Kauai? I mean, there's a bunch of people out there that are fabulous musicians in their own right, you know, back from the day and still playing until now.
Yeah, as far as musicians or instrumentalists, of course, Hal, because he's my mentor in a way, and also Ken Emerson. When I recorded with Ken Emerson, it was totally a treat because he's very spontaneous on what he does.
Sure, and he's so diverse, and you know, he plays lap steel, acoustic steel, and he also plays slack key.
Yeah, he's a very impressive player and very fun. He's like Lidward, they're both having a good time when they're playing.
Right.
They actually enjoy it. Thank you.
there was a song on one of your CDs, and it was called Hokule. And explain some of the significance of that.
Okay, Hokule is the subdivision that my first house was in, and that's in Puhi. And in those days, when I used to write songs, I didn't know what to call them, and I don't understand the Hawaiian language. So a lot of my songs, I was picking the street name that I was living on. So, or the Hokule, for example, was a subdivision, right. But also have another song called Ho'onani, which is Ho'onani Road in Kualoa. Right, right. Anolani is the Anolani Street, which my sister lives on. And, you know, so it was things like that. And now I'm actually naming more for places where I've been, I notice, or sometimes for people who I write melodies for too.
Sure, because in Hawaiian language, Hokule means a lay of stars. It's kind of like, and so here you are, Grammy Award winning artist, and you're in this lay of stars, and just how does that make you feel, just being, you know, kind of starting off in Hokule, but now being a part of that as well, you know?
Well, I just feel real lucky, have an opportunity to do this, but I just feel real lucky, and I prayer was the right place at the right time. And I need to thank people like Milton Lau, and even like KKCR Radio for playing my music, and no doubt the people of Kauai for supporting me, and all the supporters of Slack Key.
Well, how do you envision Slack Key in the globalization of the world? You know, do you think it's, you know, is that now you can get Slack Key at your fingertips off of music stores? So how do you envision the future of Slack Key?
Well, I think it's going to do good, because what surprised me was like the Grammys. I mean, the Slack Key, you know, for the past 3 years have won, you know, the compilation CD. So that told me that a lot of people out there at least know what Slack Key is. They might not know the artists by name, but they know the music. So I think Slack Key is going to be around, because the mainland music industry knows a lot about it. In some ways, Slack Key might be more popular in that industry than it is here in Hawaii. Yeah. At least, you know, from I was surprised, it was three times Slack Key took it.
Right, right. So if you could travel anywhere in the world now, where would it be to go play music?
I like it here a lot in Hawaii. I would like to go back to Molokai.
Back to Molokai? You have ties to Molokai?
No, the two times that I've been to Molokai was for the festival. We did it 2 years there, and it's like you're in Kekaha. It's just a small crowd, but it's just real, you know, like a community setting, and I felt real relaxed. Don't get me wrong, I like all the islands, and when we went up for the Grammys to promote, I liked it in Manhattan Beach and in Hollywood too. But Molokai was just so relaxed. It was like I was playing in Kekaha. But I like all the festivals too, because like Maui, this past festival last month, there was 4,500 people that showed up.
45, wow.
I was real surprised on the crowd. Thank you.
your family grew up in Ke Kaha, and your folks were from that area. You went to Waimea High School, True Blue and White, and I know there's deep lines on Kauai.
I think my grandparents came into Kauai for plantation, but they ended up running a business. And my dad, from the time he was a kid, he ran the store. What kind of business? It was a general store, you know, like a Big Safe type of thing.
Sure.
It was called Kuramoto Store in Ke Kaha. And so that's what my dad did. Then as I was growing up, I still liked to surf and skateboard. And my mom, you know, would try to slide in the piano lessons, but I never was a good student.
Piano lessons?
Yeah.
So you kind of had an early start in piano as well.
Well, before that, ukulele, but it was the type like where the parents tell you to go, so I wasn't the best student. But what I did notice was my teachers did say that what they recognized, I could hear something, I could emulate it on whatever keyboard or fretboard. But I never lasted in those lessons because my interest was elsewhere.
Skateboarding and surfing.
I actually stopped surfing because I had a hard time finishing my classes at school, because when I was at college level, now you're kind of like an adult, you're supposed to go at your own pace or be matured enough to go, but I would throw the surfboard in the back of my truck the night before. As I go towards KCC, you know, I'm passing Pakalas, and if there was a bunch of cars there, I wouldn't show up to class for a week. So now I have to take the cars all over again. When those days when I used to go surfing, when my sister got her first kid, and he grew up, watching him as a child, as he became an adult, just the body languages, like when he would be not telling the truth, I could see how his body movements would go. So that made me realize that I was only fooling myself when I thought I was fooling my parents by throwing a surfboard in a truck. They probably knew, but you know, they just wasn't seeing nothing about it. And made me realize now, you know, if I do have a family, that they're going to do the same back to me, and we'll probably know when they're lying to us, but we won't say nothing to them.
Sure.
No wonder, you know, my parents say, been there, done that. I end up at KCC for 4 years, even though it's a 2-year college. But that's where I met Bill Wallace with the Blonde Boys. I worked for him in the AV department, and we became good friends, and he actually introduced me to people like Billy Paul, this guy John Rizzo, who was a dobro player. You know, and that's how I was introduced to the music industry. Then that's when I started playing for clubs when I came back from Colorado, because I told Colorado too, when I met the banjo player, you know, we just jammed music during the nights, and I never did well in my studies there. Then finally, later in life, I went back to college, and this time I wanted to go, and I actually end up with an electrical engineering degree. And during the day, I'm an engineer, but I use my vacation time, or during the evenings and weekends, I just play music.
Sure, you got to spend time with your family and your ohana, and really appreciate them.
Especially at work, they think I'm nerdy, like, and I'm quiet, so they think I'm just strictly business, but when they know what I do on the music side, so they cannot believe, they just said, it's amazing.
We'll return to Talk Story after your station's identification. Let's return to this edition of Talk Story with Paul Togioka.
On stage, you're an entertainer, you actually are there, you know, you're performing. But when you're at home and you're socializing, you're a lot more loose.
Yeah, I actually, like I said, when they started jamming, I actually step out of it and I just watch, man, in awe. Like, this is incredible, because this is something you don't see at the festivals.
And we talked about some of the preeminent musicians, like, you know, like Gabby Pahinui, Sonny Chilling with Peter Moon, and you talked about the complexities of how he plays and trying to emulate that.
Peter Moon was a very big influence on me, like Lidward and Leonard Kwan. But Peter, and this is just my opinion, but he was ahead of his time because he came out like in 78, I think, after the Sunday Manoa. And you try and take a listen to songs like Tropical Storm or Slacky Shuffle. Those are very complicated songs. And later on, he came up with things like Pandanus, or even like the version of Maury Brown Eyes I Do. It's actually, I'm trying to emulate Peter's style, and he incorporates jazz too in
jazz.
There.
Jazz.
His licks are just, you know, quite complicated. And I said, the Maury Brown Eyes that I do takes licks from him. So I just take the licks that I can do, and I play that song. And I really respect him. You know, I remember going to his shows, and I just would be in awe. In fact, I would bring in a tape recorder, and I would tape those shows, and I would go home and try to figure out his licks.
Right. So when you say licks, I mean, it's something that you think you can really hear and identify with one particular musician.
Yeah. That's like a signature. Like, every musician has, I guess, their personality come out in the music, and certain things that Lidward does, I mean, we know it's Lidward when he's playing. I mean, you can tell certain things that Keola does, you know it's Keola. I mean, at times you may not be able to tell who's playing, but when certain signature phrases will come out, then you know it's them.
What's your signature lick, if you could think about it?
The way I play a certain G chord, that it gives it a contemporary feel. It's still Hawaiian, but contemporary feel.
Your own style, Paul Togioka plays. Earlier, you talked about idolizing guys like Doc Watson or Earl Clue and that kind of music. And how did that influence you in your music today?
I used to be a banjo player, so I was really into bluegrass. And if you listen to sometimes Lidward, what he does, it's almost got a country feeling and almost bluegrassy. You listen to like Huipo Ona Ona and things like that. So that's why I really lock into Lidward too. And like the tuning again is, for the banjo, the primary tuning for the banjo and the slack guitar is open G, the most common tuning. So that's why I use a lot of banjo techniques on the slack guitar. But and I try to, when I do listen to bluegrass music, sometimes if I hear something I like in the bluegrass music, I try to see if I can somehow slide it into the slack key. So I'm not sure if you guys see me do it at the festivals, but do you guys notice in certain songs I change the tuning while playing the song?
Yes.
I play the song in a major, then I change the tuning, I go to a minor. That is actually a technique that Earl Scruggs uses on a banjo. And but the banjo has special gears that locks. It won't go past a certain point. So you hit the right notes all the time, you're changing the tuning. But on the guitar, I don't have those gears. So for about a year, I just practiced. I broke a lot of strings, but I just kept on practicing. After a while, I could tell. You can hear the turn as it goes. So I would just change it from a major to a minor tuning. And that's how I slid that technique in. And like I said, that's something that came from a banjo.
And that's that crossover of bringing bluegrass into slack key.
if you listen to me do Hell's version of Hula Medley, I'm paying tribute to Hell, but at one point, if you listen real closely, you can, two songs will be going on at the same time. And usually musicians notice that. They come up to me and say, hey, you're playing two songs? What you hear is on the bass side, you hear the 12-bar blues going. And on the melody side, you're going to hear Hula Medley going. And they're both going at the same time. And I do it just for a shop. Just a couple of verses. What I like to do is I like to throw those things in to, for the people who's listening, like, what was that thing? Like, it just catches them off guard. Then before they know what's going on, I take it away. Then I'm moving in. You notice I'm medley a lot. Sure. Then I'm moving into a different song. It's just a passing thing. But I notice the musicians usually notice that. But I'm just following what he did. And of course, there's some of my technique in there too, but a lot of it is trying to mimic Peter. And you can see how exciting his style is. But again, in there too, I do have some banjo techniques. So if you're talking about the banjo side, I threw in, thank you. But I feel that a lot of credit is deserving of Peter. And I spent many hours slowing down his records to, you know, get that.
Right, right.
He just knew how to add life into the songs. He delayed certain notes just enough to cause tension. But it sounds neat, man. I mean, that's an art form. I mean, that's truly an art form that I hope one day I could learn too.
Who's playing with you now in the Slacky festivals?
The constants I notice are like Lidward, Dennis and David Kamakahi, Michael Kaava, David Kahiapo, Makana, Brittany Paiva.
Yeah, so who else is, who are the up-and-coming people? Yeah, there's some guys that they talk about, Danny Carvalho.
Oh, yeah. I would think Brittany and Danny. I was quite impressed with Danny. When they're young, too, they're just like sponges, man. And I wish I could be young again. But Danny, I spoke to him one time, and what he said he does is he lists, if there's a song he likes, like I never thought anyone could mimic Santana in this open tuning, right, and make it sound full like it's in standard
Europa
tuning. Yeah. And he surprised me. But what he does is he, these tape recorders nowadays, you can slow it down and it stays in pitch. And from what I understood, that's what he did. And he finds the bass parts and mimics the electric guitar parts, and all of a sudden he has one song, and it's impressive.
I mean, it is.
I never thought that song could be done in the open tuning, not like that.
Thank you. So we have these generations of players in the past, maybe, you know, 20 to 30 years with, you know, with Raymond Kane, Leonard Kwan, yeah. Peter Moon, Dennis Kamakahi, Ledward Ka'apana. Then you also have Makana kind of coming through and being a little kid from Matt Wilinkovic into Makana and Paul Togioka coming along in the recent past, as well as, you know, Brittany and Danny Carvalho. Do you think the future is even brighter for slack key and Hawaiian music? Or
yeah, I think so, because there's always going to be someone coming who's going to take it up to the next level. I mean, that is a fact of life.
And how do you think that'll come about? You think you'll end up teaching at some point in time?
That's a good question. Maybe one day when I retire from my day job, I'll have more time. And then I'd like to teach, or I'll just like to do community service, you know, that kind of thing. But definitely when I'm too old to play, I'll be in the audience watching these young guys coming up and talking big, like, hey, when I was young, maybe I could do that. But now I got arthritis. No, I'm just teasing.
You said Hal Kinnaman gave you the opportunity and to learn lessons of slack key.
Yeah, speaking about teaching, I'm an instructor at the Ledward Ka'apana workshop.
And the Aloha Acoustic
Workshop. Yeah. So that's a week-long thing. And at that point, I get to share what I do. But also, my participation lately in the community has been with being a judge. Like, 2 years I was at the Molokai Slacky Festival as a judge. And for Kauai, there's the Mokihana Festival. At one time at KCC, I did a community service thing where I taught Slacky for free. But fortunately and unfortunately, I got involved in the weddings and I got so busy. I mean, it's good that I'm busy, but it made less time for me to share the teaching side. But eventually, I'll have more time to do that kind of things, giving back. And I'm not interested in the money. A lot of people share with me how to play, and I just want to give back. What does aloha mean to you, Paul Togioka? Aloha for me is what Hal and like Ledward, David Kahiapu, all those guys did for me. They played on my album, just came, showed up at the studio and did their thing. And I want to do that back for the people who is interested in the music. I want to give back just as community service.
Sure.
That's what I want to do.
Giving back in that sense of community, that willingness to give back. Is that something that you grew up with your folks? Did they instill that in you in that sense that, like, did you have to do that when you were young? You know, you got to go clean yard, you got to go help out at the bon dance.
Yeah, I wasn't good at the cleaning yard part. But things that I feel comfortable doing, I really like to share. That's how we all are. I mean, you guys are sharing time with me for this interview right now.
Sure.
That's the least I feel I could do is share something back.
when you came out with Kiho Alu, there was Zacchaeus.
Oh yeah, the one that changes the tuning. That was my first attempt in changing tuning. And that song came from Donald Dykes. That was a big revelation for me because I always wanted to know how to use the banjo and play slacky on it so I could bring the banjo to the fast fold because I've always liked the banjo. But when I seen him doing that, it just made me look at the guitar differently. Maybe I should be thinking how I can do banjo techniques on the guitar. So that's why I do the change tuning now and behind the nut bends and the slurring of the strings in the middle of the songs, all those things. Or even like the double song, two songs at one time, that was like a Chet Atkins thing. That came from, you know, a countryside of the house. And that's where I make fun and say stealing, but that's where, you know, I'm getting these ideas from. All I do is, like for the two songs at one time, I just need to count how many majors Hula Medley had, and I had to make sure I had to count the blues, how much majors that had, and somehow you sync the two together.
Right.
It's a slow process, but once you get it, then mostly musicians pick up on that and go like, whoa, what is that? It's like making fun at times.
Right. Oh, and making music.
Oh, thank you.
Making music. You know, being creative, being avant-garde, pushing the envelope, but being, you know, staying within your boundaries. And
before I used to carry two guitars to the beach, but I was getting lazy carrying two. So I tried to figure out how to arrange it in an open tuning slacky so I can just carry one guitar. Then after a while, it made me realize that just about anything you can do in open tunings, if you have the right tuning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that came around. Thank you. also doing is I'm trying to arrange some of Gabby's songs as instrumentals because I want to also push that part of the Slacky, yeah, pay sure. tribute to Gabby.
Why pay tribute to Gabby? I mean, what does Gabby mean to you?
Going, I guess, full closure, since he's considered the father of Slacky. By doing instrumentals, I've never tried mimicking him as instrumentals. I'm going to try, give it a shot. And it'll be just like going home for me. Because Gabby has a unique sound too. When he starts strumming or picking away, you know it's Gabby, man.
Right. Right?
Especially like those He Loves like that. And mm-hmm. the curveball to me was Moonlight Lady, man. That song is so pretty. And I mean, thanks to Pat Cockett and Carlos.
Right.
Man, amazing. He has some nice stuff. And even like his version of How Do You Do.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
So smooth, man. I mean, when we was Ohana o Kauai, we tried mimicking it, but I could never play as smooth as Ingoata. I'm hoping to arrange, like I said, some of his vocal songs as purely instrumental, but with the Gabby song. I'd like to thank everybody at KKCR and you guys for doing this interview with me. I feel very fortunate to be at least thought of in this sense.
KKCR would like to thank Paul Togioka for sharing with us on this edition of Talk Story. Talk Story was recorded at Fat Tuesday Records and the studios of KKCR. Funding for Talk Story was made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Talk Story is produced by Larry Lasota, engineered and mastered by Ron Pendragon. Paul Togioka was interviewed by Hawaiian music programmer Kilipaki Vaughn. For more information about Talk Story or Kauai Community Radio, log on to www.kkcr.org or call us at 808-826-7774. Ahui ho, till we meet again.